We're going to take our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 15. And while you're turning there, I meant to say, if there are any of us that would like to give a testimony tonight about how the Lord used the Give It All Sunday, I heard several good testimonies, and we won't force you to do that. But if you are interested in that, I'll ask tonight and see if there are any interested. And you're more than welcome to do so. We'd love to hear how the Lord has worked in your heart. Luke, chapter 15, we're going to read 11 to 17, Luke chapter 15. This is one of the most amazing and concise stories that I find in the entire Bible. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I want to ask you this morning, what are you hungry for? Hunger, of course, is a strong desire to eat, as many of you have right now. What are you hungry for? You said, lunch. I'm hungry for lunch. Let's get this thing moving. Let's get out of here. Amen? And they interviewed somebody I heard for the Corps. He told me, he said, there was a hurricane that went, I think it was the hurricane scenario down there, Hurricane Katrina, I believe, and they interviewed somebody, and they said, what do you think about the destruction of all the churches down here? And she said, well, she said, I don't normally go to churches. She said, I go to Lee's Famous Recipe Chicken. That's where I go to. That's what I'm more concerned about. I'm thinking about hunger and people coming to church. What are they hungry for? Well, this guy here ends up in hunger. And he said, I'm going to perish with hunger. I'm going to pass away. Now, sometimes we say that. We say, I'm about to starve to death. And of course, we don't know anything of starvation, but this guy was pretty close to it, looks like. And he said, I'm going to fall away with hunger. And as I was thinking about this week, I was reminded of times when I was young. I had a lot of memories about food when I was a kid. I don't know what it was. Maybe I was number 7 out of 10. And so food it's very important that you get some food. I mean, when you take one slice of pie and cut it into pieces that you can see through and hand that out amongst the multitude, you better be ready and eat when you can get it. I remember one time when I was a kid, we had this, people would give us the weirdest things. I don't know why, but they, you know, we must have looked like beggars, and maybe we were, I don't know. But they would come by and they would give us stuff. I remember one time they gave us a big box of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches that for some reason nobody wanted, and they gave them to us. And turns out we didn't want them either. They weren't good at all. But I remember this big bag, a black, for some reason in my mind, is this black plastic garbage bag. It was full of these wafers for ice cream sandwiches, the wafers, and there was just a bag full of those. And I'm telling you, I was just eating them one after another. You just come down. You never know when you're going to get another meal. If it's what doesn't matter to me, those crackers. And I remember one time this guy gave us this big 50-pound bag of something he called bear mush. Hey, nobody should be eating bear mush, I'll tell you that. Mush is bad enough. I mean, bear, what does the bear have to do with it? But we were eating this, and we you know, mix it up. You'd put all kinds of stuff in there to try to make it good. And man, again, when you're feeding the ravaging hordes, you just got to give them something. And we're eating this. And I remember one morning, I just said, you know, this is ridiculous. I'm not eating this. And boy, that's the wrong thing to say to my mom. My mom loves rebellion. Anywhere she can find it, she loves it. Because she has a hammer that God gave her intentionally to smash out all rebellion. And so she looked for me. And I remember she was cajoling me. She was begging. She was demanding. She was all that was a part of this nutritious breakfast. And I was eating. I was trying to eat it. She's putting chocolate in it. She was putting probably maple syrup. I don't know, whatever thing she could. And I remember she started singing this song. There was an old song that we used to sing. It was The City of Gold. And it had this song, this verse about going to heaven. It would sweeten my bliss, something about going to heaven. And she was singing, "It would sweeten my bliss if my son would eat this." And she was, and I still remember that song for some, and I finally choked it down. You know, we finally got it down. But that was one of many times where the wills were being challenged. I remember one time I had cereal in the morning for whatever reason. It was probably bear mush is probably what it was. But I remember it was some kind of corn flakes type of a knockoff type of a thing. And as you know, the knockoff version of cornflakes is not as good. Now, at least I've never found it to be as good. So as I'm eating it, I didn't finish it for some reason. I probably needed to get down and play. I don't know. I was only about 18 or 19 years old at the time. But I was young. I was young, okay? And so I didn't finish it, and I left it there. And Mom says to me, "Oh, you're going to eat this." And I said, "I don't want to eat that." And she said, "Well, that's fine. That's fine." It wasn't fine, but she said it was fine. And she was going to just, she said, "We'll just keep it for later." And I thought, I can outlast you. But again, I didn't realize my mom was gleeful inside for this opportunity. And so later that afternoon, I wanted lunch. And guess what lunch was? It was the lukewarm room temperature cornflakes that were soggy and nasty. And I'm like, I don't want to eat that. "You don't have to eat that." And inside her heart rejoiced and was gleeful. And so it continued the rest of the day. And I was playing as you know, was my job in those days, was just to play all day long. And that night I watched them as they ate. The family got to eat all kinds of stuff. I thought I was part of the family, but I wasn't really part of the family, because I hadn't yet finished my task from that morning. And so finally, after everyone ate supper and everybody's going on, and I'm still hungry, and I finally broke down and I said, "I'm hungry." She said, "You can eat your cereal from this morning," with a happy smile, the joy of the Lord on her face, sadistic joy. And so I finally got the bowl of cereal and choked it down. And let me tell you, the key with that is to suppress the gag reflex, because it will come up and you want to lose everything, internal organs and all of that. And but I was able to choke it down. And so I ate it. And finally, then Mom rewarded me with maybe some leftover food from supper. I don't know. But I all these memories of food. You know, I remember one time we were at a place where somebody in the church must have worked for Nabisco. And I know Brother Skeels used to work for Nabisco. And they had all kinds of stuff that they made available to, you know, whoever would come through and wanted to have some of it. And we had boxes and boxes of stuff. Chicken and a biscuit, amen. Nothing wrong with that. And Nabisco wafers and all kinds of stuff. And it, very unhealthy. This we were not on the, you know, low-carb diet by any means, but we were loving that. And I think about, you know, when food is available. I mean, Uber Eats, right? And DoorDash, and there's so many different ones that have cropped up. Why? Because we've got to stay fed. It doesn't matter. I want food right now. And thinking about hunger, it just reminded me a lot of that. And it, the truth is, hunger, though, is not just reserved for food, although that's a big part of it. There are people who are hungry for a lot of things today. Politicians, governmental leaders, they seem very hungry for power. They want to control. And we've been through a couple of really weird years in our country where control is being grasped. It is almost as if we're all just in one big concentration camp, and people are making these calls and dictating where we're supposed to go and what we're supposed to do. And it's because there's a desire for power. Someone said that absolute power corrupts absolutely, but power itself can corrupt. And I thank God that we do not live in a world of absolute, in a country of absolute dictators. And if you think that we do, you've never read much of history. We're talking about people who can be thrown in jail for being the wrong religion, or people who can be put behind bars because they just dissent in some way. And yes, we have some craziness that's going on, but you can sense that power that's being grasped, that's being sought. I think about the people in Hollywood, the people in professional sports. There seems to be a real hunger for fame. And you watch that people, they can't just score a touchdown or make a basket. They have to gesticulate after the fact. They have to throw a celebration for themselves for doing well. And you think about the actors who get together and they want to congratulate themselves on being such great actors, and how they choose, and they wonder, am I going to be a great actor? And the actors say, yes, you are a great actor. Well, sometimes they get upset and they smack one another and yell and cuss each other out. But they all love one another, and they're all just, in my opinion, sometimes I wonder how much better America would be if Hollywood was completely removed from our culture, and all entertainment was just gone, and we didn't have to worry. What would we do? We'd order food, amen? We'd just call up somebody, get it here to us. But there's people, and of course, we understand that the people in our culture that we hate the most, really, they are us with greater influence. They really are, because humans are humans. We all have hunger. We all have desires. And were it not for the grace of God, our desires would go unchecked, and who knows what we could become. If you look at the book of Genesis chapter 3, look at chapter 3, verse number 6, if you would, we see that humans have always been hungry. Since the beginning of time, humans have had desires. You look at chapter 3, verse number 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's hunger, the lust of the flesh, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, that's the hunger of the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, that's the hunger for superior intellect. It's pride, the pride of life. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. Notice that the lust, the hunger, led them to take action. And it says in verse number 7, and the eyes of them both were opened. There's the consequence. It's a repeating theme. It is hunger and then action and then consequence. The eyes of them both were opened. That's number one. They knew that they were naked. That's number two. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Consequence number three. And then the story of mankind goes downhill from there. And it lines up. That little sequence or formula lines up throughout the scripture. We find over in James. And every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own what? Lust and enticed. What is that? That lust is a desire for something. It's a hunger that wants to be filled. He's drawn away and enticed. And then it says, then when lust hath conceived, James chapter 1, it bringeth forth sin. So you have a desire, a hunger, that then leads to an action. And that action brings with it a consequence. The Bible says that when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. There's the consequence. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The thing that we forget is our hunger, our lust, causes us to take action, which will bring a consequence, but then those consequences bring their own consequences. It starts to accelerate. It starts to speed up. And your hunger, your desire for something is no longer in control. Whereas before, when you see the thing tempting you, you see that something that you desire, you still have an opportunity to say yay or nay. But when you take action and try to satisfy that hunger, consequences start to roll along the track, and that momentum builds. Before you know it, you're reaping more than you remember sowing. Hunger, action, consequence. This man in Luke chapter 15 was hungry. He started out hungry. In Luke chapter 15, if you'll go back there with me, you'll see in verse number 12, he was hungry for freedom. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He wasn't happy on the farm. He wanted more. His father wasn't enough. His place in life was not satisfactory. And so he said, give me. And notice, and he divided unto them his living. So the father takes what belongs to him, and he divides it. Now that word divide, of course, is referring to the inheritance of some kind that he gave to his sons. He must have had enough of his assets in liquid form where he could give them something that he could carry with him. And we find that the son did that. But that word is interesting. He divided unto them. It was because of the son's hunger that the father made the decision to give him this inheritance. And it was a type, if you will, of the divide that began to develop or was finally seen between the father and the son. You see, his hunger for freedom is what led him to his eventual departure from his father. And it's not, I want you to understand something here. It's not that he hated his father and so he left. The hunger for freedom in his mind was not a bad thing. It was a good thing that his father was not providing for him. Now, church, I want you to hear me. In the last days, it says that men shall be lovers of themselves. And it says in 2 Timothy, they would be traitors, heady, high-minded. And then it said, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. It's not that this young man couldn't stand his father and hated him. It's that he was a lover of pleasure more than he was a lover of his father. And this is instructive for us, church, because it's not in this world that God doesn't want us to have anything good. It's that he wants nothing to take his place. This hunger for more, this hunger for freedom, actually brought him to a point of decision. Would he follow his desires or would he follow his father? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. As Americans living in this world of so much and plenty, we've got to remember that desires for freedom, it could be that we're not hating God. It's just if we had to make a choice right now between the amenities, the luxuries, the niceties of being an American, a choice between that and God, what will we choose? I'm not saying that you have to. I'm saying if you had to, which would you choose? And if you're like me, you know that we face that choice on a regular basis, don't we? In our hearts, we know that there's a call from another place, a call from a far country. And actually, you can see in verse number 13, it shows another hunger that he had. What did he want to do? Well, you know what a guy really wants to do by how he spends his money, by how he spends his time. You know what he does by the kind of people he hangs out with. That's what is really in his heart. And this is why it's hard. When you become a Christian, when you're a child of God, you may have a whole life behind you of how you normally lived, how you normally spent your money, who you normally hung out with. And then now you're faced with a choice. Well, here, he wants to leave the father, and he was hungry, not just for freedom, he was hungry for fun. He was looking forward to what? You can see in verse 13, he was looking forward to riotous living. How do we know that? Because that's how he spent his money. Christian, where are you as far as your desires? What are you hungry for? You know what you're hungry for by what you spend your time doing. You know what your hunger is for by the money, by the kind of money that you spend. That's how you know. You notice he said, he, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance. He was hungry for fun. You notice that the hunger for freedom, that was his desire, his hunger, his lust. What follows the hunger? Action. What followed his desire for freedom? A split with his father. A move away from his authority. That is what happened because of his hunger. What happened when he was hungry for fun? Well, it says that he wasted his substance. He lived a wasteful life. The paycheck comes in and it disappears with what? I don't know, but it sure felt good. The money comes in and it goes out and it's all wasted. He received it as a blessing from his father, but it's wasted. Look at this guy's hunger. He's hungry for more. Now, as a result of these things, hunger, action, consequence, these things all build. And notice, it removes him from his father. It takes him to a far country. And now where do we end up? He is wasting his substance with riotous living. And the Bible tells us in verse number 4, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. In want. He was hungry for stability. He had no framework in which to live anymore. His relationship with his father was shot. His money's gone. His friends are gone. The fun is gone. And now what does he have? He's got nothing but a desire for some stability. He's got to figure out how to get this thing. And listen, as we go further and further away from God, what ends up happening is we start losing what our flesh and our character and personality had been able to get us, but it stops working like it used to work. And so we have to turn up the heat. We have to try harder. We have to go back at it. We have to invent new ways of keeping us happy. And look at himself. Look at this guy. He says, I got to get some stability in my life. I got to find a framework. I got to find somebody that can give me some structure. And what does he do? He joins himself to a citizen of that country. Verse number 15. And what did he do? He sent him into his fields to feed swine. So his hunger for stability, his hunger for some type of normalcy in his life, causes him to join up with someone who had a completely different goal for his life. What he said here, he sent him into his fields. He's no longer making his own decisions. Interestingly enough, he left home because he wanted to make his own decisions, do his own thing. And now he's back with a farmer, but a farmer who has no concern for him at all, a farmer who doesn't care, who just wants to have somebody out in the fields working, somebody feeding the pigs, right? The Bible says that the fear of man bringeth a snare, and he found himself doing things that he never would have imagined. You know why? Because people are selfish. People in this world are selfish. Who do they care about? They care about themselves. When the restaurant tells you can have it your way, they're only saying that so you'll come and buy from them. They want you to make them money. And so you find all the customization that's available and all the, it's interesting now. People can have, as we said, anything delivered to their door. Why? Because people just care about your comfort. They want you to be happy. No, they want to be happy. And they figure the best way to make themselves happy is to figure out a way to make money off of making you happy. And it works. Man, that one-click buy now is so easy, isn't it? And what is that? That is just somebody making it very simple for me to give them money. And you can see this man here. He sends him into his fields. You can see the prodigal son coming up to him and saying, hey, I need a job in the worst way. I need a job. And now he's begging for something that would never satisfy. He's getting down real low. And why? All because of that hunger that he had. That hunger that distanced him from his father. What are you hungry for? What are you hungry for? Let me remind you of something. Whatever you're hungry for, if it's taking you away from God, in the end, you're not going to like it. If it's pulling you away from the Lord, I just want to have this in my life. If I had a relationship, if I could have a spouse, if I could have a better job, if I could have a nicer house, man, if I could just get back to my fighting weight, if I could get back to good health, if I could just get to a place of just total peace. Listen, listen, I'm not telling you God wants you to be unhealthy or God doesn't want you to have nice things. I'm saying, do you want God more than those things? Are you a lover of pleasures more than a lover of God? Because if you are, that hunger is in danger of pulling you away from what you really want. What you really want. Well, I want a spouse that actually cares for me and loves me. Be careful, my friends. Be careful. Why? Your hunger for something that may not be wrong, may not be wicked or sinful, might draw you away from the very place God wants you to be. And it starts in the heart, and then it gradually works its way out. The decisions that we make are based on our hungers. You can make your decision. You can take action, but you cannot determine the consequence. The irony of this story, how he ran from an overbearing father, and we assume that. We don't know that, but why else would he leave? Why else would he demand from his father? He ran from a perfect scenario. Why? He wanted something better. He wanted something different. He was tired of the same old, same old, same old. I deserve better. They owe it to me. Before you know it, you've distanced yourself from something that's far better than you'll ever find on your own. He's adopting the culture. And he gets down to verse number 16. He would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. Notice how many words are here in 14 and 15 and 16 about food. It said, no man gave unto him. He was hungry for freedom, so he left his authority. He was hungry for fun, so he lived wastefully. He was hungry for stability, so he adopted the culture. He was hungry for food, so he degraded himself. He goes down, 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 just like Jonah did, into the belly of the whale. He found himself here at the bottom of the barrel. Not only is he hungry, but he is envious of what the pigs get to eat. He would have liked to have fed himself. He would have liked to fulfill that hunger and fill his belly, but he couldn't. Why? He wasn't eating things that could satisfy. And plus, the pigs were getting the biggest share of it all. He's looking to get more, and he can't. The pigs don't let him. Job, in the book of Job, Satan says that all that a man hath will he give in exchange for his life. He ends up completely degrading himself. You ever find yourself in a place where you couldn't stand yourself? Where you were stuck in a vortex, and you knew your desires had brought you there, but everything that you try to say or do or change just drives you further and further into that vortex. And you know that you're the person that you don't want to be, and you try to do something different, but it just seems that it continues. The pattern grows, and it gets stronger, and the pull is greater, and you can't get out of it. You're stuck, as it were, at the bottom of the barrel. And you can feel yourself becoming that person that you don't like. Can you imagine how he felt here, this young man, how he felt having been raised with a father who had plenty, who had all kinds of wealth and had enough to not only give an inheritance, but had plenty to keep the farm going after he did. His dad was well off. And he was raised, if you will, with a silver spoon in his mouth. But now here he is. He's at the bottom of the barrel. You've heard the stories about people who leave home and get away. And they find out that this world is a cruel place and that no one cares about them. And they end up turning to some addictive substances to try to take the edge off. And then before they know it, they're hooked. And now their main goal for existence is to get more of that drink, or get more of those drugs, get more of that thing that I'm trapped by, I can't get away from it. That's where he is. He hates himself, he hates where he is, he hates what he's doing, but he can't do anything else. He's stuck. But there's an amazing verse. The amazing verse is found in verse number 17. It says, when he came to himself. You see, it's not such a horrible thing to be introspective if you can see yourself for who you really are. It's almost as if he walked up on himself at this moment. He came to himself. He finally saw who he really was. And I think he began to see himself mirrored in those pigs, rooting around in the garbage, ravenously hungry. He saw those pigs as they're rooting around in the mud and the disgusting slime that was left over from whatever they threw out of the house. And he saw himself in those pigs as utterly selfish, as completely oblivious to anything but his own desires. And it's almost as if maybe he saw his face in that hog as it looked up to him for a moment and then went back to snorting. And he said, "That's me. That's who I am." You ever seen yourself for who you really are? This young man finally came to himself. You know what's interesting is that he didn't start thinking about how horrible he was and how wicked he was. Was he? Well, yeah. Did he see himself for who he was? I think so. But notice what he said when he came to himself. He said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger." He began to think about how his father treated his servants. He saw himself here in this hog pen and then thought about how his father treated people like him. You know, God does not have to get mad at you and bring the hammer down in your life in order to get your attention. He can simply allow you to reap the consequences of your own desires, your actions. Just let you go, have your drives determine your actions, and those consequences are all that God needs to bring you to a point where you know who you really are. The scariest thoughts I've ever had is, what if God were to allow me to just go with the desires of my flesh? Not convict me. If the Holy Spirit said, "I'm just going to sit back and not worry about you. You've already grieved me enough. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm going to remove myself from you." Now, I'm thankful that we are sealed by the Spirit till the day of redemption. But you know, there's an interesting thing about that. The Holy Spirit could seal us and say, "I'm not talking to you. I'm just preserving you." And yet he can be impacted by our actions. And that's why he tells us, "Grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed." I'm thankful that he doesn't just preserve us. He doesn't just give us eternal security, but he can be affected by how we interact and how we... And I'm thankful that he chooses to be hurt by me. Because if he said, "I'm no longer being hurt by you," he would end up like some people who come to the point of divorce and they say, "I don't care." What's the opposite of love? The opposite of love is not hatred. The opposite of love is apathy. "I just don't care. I don't care. You can do whatever you want. I don't care. I don't want to be a part of your life anymore." Can you imagine if God said that to you based on the actions that you took? Well, here, he's reminded of what? Not the anger of his father, but of the goodness of his father. And he can almost smell that bread that's baking. And he said, "You know, bread's always baking in my father's house. It's a whole lot different than this." You know what's interesting is my dad doesn't treat people this way. There's plenty, even for the guys that slop the hogs, there's plenty of hot bread available. And he began to think about how good his father was. In fact, that's what the Lord tells us. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And sometimes we think, "Well, somebody's got to get out there and tell them they're going to hell." Don't you think people already know that in their heart?
Don't you think they know how upset they've made God? Think about this young man, the prodigal son. What lures him back? It's the smell of bread. It's the possibility of being satisfied. He's coming to the end of himself. He's got nothing where he is, but he remembers the possibilities. He remembers the former days. He remembers hearing about people talking about how good God is. He said, man, I'd like, Christian, that's why it's so important that we have a testimony in this world. When people are looking for bread, they can say, I heard you got some good bread. Man, I you seem to be happy and satisfied in this world. I know you just went through cancer. I know you've had trouble in your family. You've got financial problems. Why are you so happy? Christian, that's why we can't be down at the hog pen with the rest of the unsaved people feeding and getting our love of pleasure. God has so much more for us. God wants us to be feasting with him even in those difficult times. You can still have satisfaction in Jesus Christ. It says he began to see himself. He came to himself. He began to realize what he was really hungry for. And the more that our hunger grows, the more it focuses on what we really want. He was hungry for freedom. He was hungry for fun, but he was hungriest for his father. He began to talk about his father. And he realized that his hunger was a consequence that came because he left his father. What does it mean to come to yourself? Well, it means that your dreams without the Father are worthless. It means your efforts without God are worthless. It means your soul's hunger cannot be satisfied without him. It means that without him, you're not even a son. You can't be a son without a father. You see, it's not just you hacking your way through this 21st century America. You figuring out a way to get what you want. Man, without the Father, you got nothing. You see, it's not just a matter of religiously going to church. It's not just a matter of making sure your kids grow up and do what they're supposed to do and know right from wrong. It's about fellowshipping with the Father. It's about being satisfied by him in your very soul. It's not just reading your Bible. It's fellowshipping with God in the Word. It's not just mindlessly going over a prayer list. It's speaking through the Spirit to the very God who can answer those requests. Christian, what are you hungry for? What are you searching for in this world? Have you found something that brings satisfaction? And watch verse number 18. This is the first sentence in the story that doesn't start with and. This story is just moving along. Verse 11, and he said, verse 12, and the younger of them said, verse 13, and not many days after, verse 14, and when he had spent all, verse 15, and when he had went and joined himself, verse 16, and he would fain have filled his belly, verse 17, and when he came to himself, and verse 18 says, I will arise. This is the crux of the story. This is the point, because he makes a new decision. It's not the same old, same old, same old. I have a hunger, and I take action, and then I have a consequence. And I have a hunger and action, and those consequences reap new consequences, so I have to take different actions that keep dragging me down and down and down. I said I wanted to follow my own desire, and I know I'm supposed to do what's right, but I had a desire for myself. Young people, are you listening to me? And it's not that you hate your parents or you hate all the rules. It's just you have something you want to do. And you make that choice and it starts to divide and it continues to go and grow and grow and grow until you're so far you don't even know where you are. Christian, I'm talking to you and your family. I'm talking to you about your decisions that you've made in your business, decisions you've made in your work, in your career, and your interaction with your spouse. It's not that you don't want to do right. It's that your hungers have pulled you away from God. And it brings you down to a place of decision. If you never come to yourself, you'll just keep going and going and going. But when you come to yourself, it is a place of a new decision. And that decision is this. I will arise and go to my Father. Not I will arise and I will try harder to be a better employee here in the hog pen.
I will arise and be a better Christian. I will figure out how to pray more fervently. I will give out more tracts. I will give more. I am going to read more of my Bible. I'm tired of not being a good Christian. I'm going to be, hey, I will arise and go back to my Father. That's where he can find his hunger satisfied. It's not in your good works, Christian. It wasn't your good works that brought you into the family of God. It was trusting the finished work that Jesus Christ accomplished on our behalf. His death, his burial, his resurrection. I will arise and go to my Father. When he came to himself, he realized, I don't have to be hungry. The Father has plenty of bread for everybody. He's got bread for you, Christian. For me, you're not some special person when God's scratching his head saying, I don't know what to do with you. He's had a tough life. She's different. You know what? If you're a child of God, he's your Father. And he's the Father of all of us that have been born again into the family of God. And he can satisfy you. You say, yeah, but I'm divorced. Yeah, but I've got, my spouse and I are not on the same page. Yeah, but my kids don't want nothing to do with God. Yeah, I don't understand the Bible. I don't get it. I'm not like you. I don't have all the advantages that other people have. I've been through a lot. I'm going to tell you, it's only the Father that can bring you satisfaction in your life. It's not you don't have a unique scenario that he doesn't understand. He's got plenty of bread. Watch what he says. I've sinned against heaven before thee, am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. But notice, he arose and came to his father when he was yet a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Notice as he goes back to the father, instead of him having to find something, the father is bringing it to him. He says, bring forth the best robe. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf. Whereas before he's looking and he can't find anything to eat. Now the father is bringing that food to him. What is our job? Our job is not to find out how to be satisfied in Jesus Christ. Our job is not to extract fulfillment from God. Our job is to go to God and wait before him and present ourselves to him and say, God, here I am. How long could you go waiting on God? 10 minutes? 20 minutes? How long would you be willing to sit and listen in order for God to speak to you from his word? An hour? You say, well, how much time should I take? No. We're not waiting on the great schedule that guarantees something from God. We're waiting on God. God, what do you have for me? I've been out in the world trying to hack out an existence, and frankly, I'm hungry. And everything that I'm chasing is not enough. It doesn't bring fulfillment. But when I come back to God, he begins to satisfy me. Well, I've got to save for retirement. Amen. What happens then? Well, I retire. Amen. And I hope that you retire with lots of money. What happens next? Well, I stay out of my wife's way. It's a good plan. What then? Well, we have fun. Yes, amen. For how long? What comes next? Well, then you die. And then what comes next? Well, if you're born again, you're going to see God. You're going to spend time with God the rest of eternity. And what a glorious thing that's going to be. Why live today as if the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is what's going to bring satisfaction? Why live that now in your retirement years? Why live that in your middle age years? Why live as if the world can satisfy you in your young married life If you're a single person on your own just starting out, why live as if the world can satisfy you? It never has. It never will. Christian, God is calling us back to the farm, saying, come back. I've got plenty for you. You don't have to go out and find new ways. You need to come to the Father. You need to find your satisfaction in Him. Jesus said, for the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. You got to come to the Lord. He called out in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I find, in closing this morning, that Jesus Christ is typified here in this story. He's the prodigal son in the story. And to our ears, at first, it sounds strange. But notice, he's the one that left the Father. The Bible tells us that he became sin for us. He ended up with the swine, and no man gave unto him. And he cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He died the death of a common criminal. He gave the most precious commodity. He spent all of his substance, his precious blood, in payment for our sin. But from the hog pen of hell, he came to himself. And he said, I will arise and go to my Father. And when he returned to his homeland, having obtained eternal redemption for us, his Father said in verse number 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection are the only way to enter into the Father's house. Notice, in the Father's house, there's joy. There's joy over one sinner that repenteth. He is both the satisfier and that which satisfies. He is the bread that cometh down from heaven. What are you hungry for? Christian, are you hungry for God? If you're here this morning without Christ, if you've never been born again, I ask you this question. What are you hungry for? You say, well, I need something in my life. You know what you need? You need Jesus. You don't need religion. You need salvation. Religion is something that you work on and work towards. Salvation is something that God gives you as a free gift. What are you hungry for? He said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Your hunger can only be satisfied in Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me?